Welcome back. We are in Esther chapter 8, verse 11. Let's go. Esther chapter 8, verse 11. So we've got Queen Esther. She petitioned her husband, the king, King Ahasuerus, also we believe that is King Xerxes, to protect the Jewish people. Because Haman had gotten the king drunk and said, hey, let's kill all the Jews. And the king was like, sure, why not? And then it backfired. And some things came to light, as we talked about. And Haman ended up getting killed, and Mordecai got elevated. And Esther and Mordecai are the two Jewish people, and they are loving, trying to protect their Jewish brothers and sisters. And the king says, yes, write a decree that they can, you can do what you need to do to have them protect themselves. And so here we go. So verse 11, by these letters, the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together and protect their lives, to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the forces of any people or province that would assault them, both little children and women, and to plunder their possessions. On one day, in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of the Adar. So what's going on here? The king had issued a decree that said, on this specific day, anyone and everyone can go out and kill a Jewish person. You'll get money for doing it because you can take the spoils of war, take the plunder of the people that you're killing. You can bring that to the coffers. We'll pay you. You'll be handsomely rewarded. Of course, a lot of things in life get rewarded. A lot of sin gets rewarded with money. And that's no different in our society where we are right now. A lot of people sell drugs because of money. A lot of people do sex trafficking because of money. A lot of people steal things or hurt people because of money or inheritance or something like that. And back here, it was no different, right? They were like, hey, if you go out and kill the Jewish people, you're going to get rich. So go ahead and do it on this specific day. But that was a decree that could not be revoked in this culture and kingdom back then. If a decree put something into law, wrote that decree, he could not revoke it. It was irrevocable, right? You would think he's the king. Just revoke it. You can't do it. But he could counteract it with another decree, and that's exactly what's going on here. So they're saying, okay, the one decree is out there saying you get to go and kill all the Jews on this one specific day. It's not hunting every day. It's just this one day. And they were literally going down to hunt the Jews. It was awful. But basically, he said, y'all figure out a way to protect your Jewish brothers and sisters. And so they came up with another decree. This is decree number two to counteract the first one that says, you can protect yourselves. You can kill all the people who are going to come after and kill you, right? It's like sounds like a video game or a violent movie or something, but it was real. Like, people were dying. People were afraid. Remember, throughout all the book of Esther, you don't see the word God or Jesus or anything like that, but that doesn't mean he's not there. He's working behind the scenes, and that is a key factor in this book as we read it. And to apply to your life is that you may not see God right now. You may be in a struggle. You may be in a valley. You may be in the deepest, deep hurt you've had. Bankruptcy, divorce, marriage problems, kids problems, illness, death, whatever it is. And you're struggling with porn, addiction, alcohol, drugs, anything like that. And God wants to say, I'm still with you. Right? He's never left you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. It may not feel like he's there, but there is purpose in the process. There is purpose in the pain. He wants you to learn from the pain. Sometimes we have to let our kids go through painful situations so that they will learn a lesson, right? You can only tell a kid so many times, don't touch that hot water. Don't touch that hot coffee. Don't touch that hot stove. Don't, you know, whatever this or that. And within reason, after they don't listen enough, you're like, well, you're just going to have to learn a little lesson. And they touch that hot water, and they're like, ouch, and they cry. Or they touch that hot stove, and then they'll get real hurt. But, you know, they get a little burnt finger. Or what? You get the scenario. But sometimes we allow our kids to go through a little bit of pain so that they can learn. And we don't bring it, you know, celebrate it. We don't, can't even think of the word. We don't bring it on and be like, yeah, I can't wait for you to get hurt. But we're like, I think this is going to be a way you're going to learn a lesson. Same thing with people at work and all situations in life. And a lot of the time we have to go through pain because God wants to teach us a lesson. And remember, God doesn't tempt you. He tests you. He doesn't tempt you. Any temptation comes from the devil, and more likely his demons than the devil, because the devil can be only in one place at one time. but we live in this flesh and it's sinful, right? The spirit inside of us is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that is why someone who is indwelled, reborn, has a spirit inside of him, will still sin. But even though you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, but you still live in this flesh, right? So don't worry. We're going to get rid of this flesh when we go to heaven. You won't have to think about it again. It's going to be beautiful. Now, some of you are looking at your bodies and you're like, I work out every day. I have the most beautiful body. Great, fine. Most people don't feel that way, right? Especially as you age and your bones start breaking down and you need a hip replacement, a knee replacement. You need a infusion and you need a whatever. Your back needs backbones and stuff. You get the point. At some point, your body starts falling apart. Gravity takes place on your face and all that stuff. So in heaven, we're not going to have to deal with this. And that's going to be a beautiful thing. So all these people get to protect themselves. And it says on verse 13, a copy of the document was to be issued as a decree in every province and published for all people so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. 14, the couriers who rode on royal horses went out, hastened, and pressed on by the king's command. And the decree was issued in Shushan, the citadel. So these couriers are going out. Remember, they didn't have iPhones. They couldn't just call and say, hey, grab a weapon, you get to defend yourself, texting their buddy a picture. I can't even remember these little things that you can text, the little one-second pictures and stuff, showing them something, saying, hey, get ready, gather your people, get the guns, get the knives, set the booby traps. This is going to be like Home Alone, only you're taking people down. So they had to get this word out, and they had to get it out quick, and they used that word hastened. So think about you. You are a courier for the gospel. Are you in a hurry to tell people? Are you excited to tell them before it's too late? Or will you show up too late or after they're already gone? Here's what the devil wants. He wants to slow you down. He wants to trip you up, and he wants to shut you up. How's he been doing with that? How's he been doing that? Answer it out loud right now. Because I think the answer for most people is they're going to say, yeah, he shut me up. You know what? I can't remember the last time I told someone about Jesus. I can't remember the last time I prayed with someone. I can't remember the last time I texted someone a verse. I texted someone a verse of encouragement or words of encouragement. All right? How are you doing with that? And especially outside of your, start one within your family. How are you doing it within your family, sharing Christ with people in your family through your words and through your deeds? And after that, right now, I just want you to think about it for about 5 seconds. I'll go silent. When's the last time you literally shared the gospel with someone outside of your home, family member, outside of church? It's a hard thing to think about. But God calls you to go and make disciples. Right? He says, unless one is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. Bear fruit that is worthy of repentance. What does that mean? John the Baptist, when he said that, was urging us to demonstrate repentance through a transformed life. If you say you are a Christian, you were born again. There is no other way again. You are born again. If you say, no, I'm not a born-again believer, I'm not a Bible thumper, then you're not a Christian. Because Jesus said it himself. Most assuredly, I say to you, in John 3:3, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So if you are a child of God, then you are born again. And if you're not born again, then you are not a child of God. And then once you're born, you will be so transformed, have a craving to want to go and tell people about Jesus because you believe it. You know it to be true. It is a hope that is so tangible. Your life will be changed. People around you will be affected. If you're not telling about Jesus, people about Jesus, then you need to seriously pray and talk to God about that, because it is not optional to say, oh, we just raised our hand. I'm not born again. I don't go and Bible thump and tell people about the Bible. They may make fun of me. Well, chances are you're not born again if you're not willing to do that, because God tells us that we're going to be born again and have a transformed heart, right? And that's what James talks about a lot in the book of James. And why a lot of people say, oh, that's why you're saved by deeds. No, it's not. You're not saved by your deeds. You're saved for your deeds. And if you're not doing deeds for Jesus, then it's evidence that you're probably not saved. This is not to say to anyone what they are or aren't. This is say, what the Bible says and what we need to think deeply about, right? Because I've had to think back in my past about this where I'm like, what am I actually doing for God? Okay, so I say I'm a Christian, but what am I doing? I'm going to church. I'm doing that for myself, reading the Bible and doing that for myself, which is great. It's a relationship between me and God. But then what am I doing to go out and share the gospel? Because if I truly have a transformed heart and I'm born again, then the Holy Spirit living inside of me is going to encourage me, urge me, and I'm going to have this craving to go out and tell people about Jesus. That's the point there. Verse 15. So Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, with a great crown of golden garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness, joy and honor. And in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Then many of the people of the land became Jews, because fear of the Jews fell upon them. So Mordecai had been raised to a level. He was respected in this new level, whereas before he was not. He was even afraid to say that he was Jewish. Now he's proudly proclaiming that he's a Jew. And he was willing to die for it, and still is. The king decided to protect them. And just know that King Jesus wants to protect you. And that doesn't mean safety on earth. It means he wants to protect your witness, right? He wants you to go through trials and go through struggles and go through pain, so that you come closer to him. And it says these people had light and gladness, joy and honor. And we love that. That's what we want to have. We want to celebrate. And it says many people around them were becoming Jews. Not because they had to, but because they wanted to. They saw the deeds coming out of these people at this moment. They were like, they were willing to have a resistance against the main government, if you will, these other people. And the gospel really is a resistance against the enemy, against the devil and his demons, in a loving manner. We don't fight with the sword. We fight with the sword of truth, which is the Bible. So you can have various takeaways today, but think about something that you're going to apply in your life. I think the thing that sticks out for me the most is, if we say we're born again and we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, then how is that reflected in my daily life? Who am I telling about the gospel? How often am I telling someone about the gospel? Am I afraid of being rejected, and so I'm not telling anybody about the great news, the good news of Jesus Christ? Or am I willing to risk that social status, that job promotion, that friendship, because I'm sharing something of truth and of value and in love with them? Not pointing the finger and saying, you suck, you're a sinner. No, saying, hey, I love you enough to tell you the truth. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for telling us the truth and sharing your love letter with us in the Bible. I'm grateful that we have it freely to read over here. There are so many people around the world in China and North Korea, similar places where they can't read the Bible, where they can't have a Bible, where there are huge repercussions for that. They can be thrown in jail. They can be killed. But we have the freedom, Lord. Help us to understand that we also have the freedom and the right and the responsibility to go and share the gospel with others, to share verses, to pray with people, to love on them, to tell them about Jesus. Give us that courage and that desire deep in our hearts today, Lord, to do that. All in your name, for your glory. Amen. This podcast brought to you in part by the Portfolio Protection Store, where smart investors go to protect their life savings from stock market losses. Visit our website to register for our webinar, theportfolioprotectionstore.com. The webinar is about portfolio protection and safe money ideas for ages 50 plus. Visit theportfolioprotectionstore.com. Located in Austin, Texas, license number 288-7886.